All right, let me get down to the message here. And if you want to turn with me in the Bible to St. John 10 and verse number 10, and I'm going to read from King James, I'm going to read from New International Version, I'm going to read from the Amplified New Testament, all three of them with that one verse of Scripture. The message that the Lord has given me to share with you today, I've entitled Broken Vessels. Broken Vessels. St. John 10 and verse number 10. In the King James Version, it reads like this. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. New International Version reads like this. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The Amplified New Testament, which is a paraphrase, reads like this. The thief comes only in order that he may steal and may kill and may destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Now, would you join me in prayer asking God to pour out His anointing on His Word, the life-giving Word with the anointing of God upon it, and to pour out His anointing upon this, His servant, that I may speak the Word with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and pray for His anointing upon each of us, that we might leave here knowing that we have been touched by the anointing from on high. Would you pray that way with me? Father, as we come to You in behalf of the message today, in behalf of the flow of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, You are welcome in this place. And we pray for heaven's anointing upon the Word, that the life-giving element might be powerful within the Word. It might pierce within our hearts and lives an inner person, Lord, and it might truly touch our lives today. And we pray for that anointing, Lord, upon this Thy servant, that I may speak under the anointing from on high, Lord, and that Your anointing may come down upon us, and each of us that are here today may experience the wonderful touch of the anointing from on high. Grant it to be so that we may leave here today knowing that we've been touched by the anointing of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, would you tell somebody, I believe the Lord's going to do exactly what we ask Him to do. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now preach with me. Preach with me. Jesus made mention of the purpose of the enemy of mankind, the devil, so that he may contrast his purpose with the enemy's purpose in this verse of Scripture that we read from three different translations, paraphrases. The devil's purpose is to steal, kill, destroy, and he works diligently to fulfill his purpose. He's busy. He never stops. He's after you every day. The devil is busy stealing man's morals. He's busy stealing man's peace. He's busy stealing man's joy. He's busy stealing man's hope. He's busy stealing man's independence. He's busy stealing man's personal pride. He's busy stealing man's potential. He's busy stealing man's health and man's victory and anything else he can steal from man. So Jesus was giving us a view of the enemy of our soul. He don't like you. The devil hates you. There's two reasons that he hates you. The first reason is, because you are God's creation. The devil is against that. He hates you because you're God's creation. Now, to double up on that, when you became born again, he hates you because you're a born again Christian and you have joined the Lord in partnership on God's team. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, so many folks are afraid, I don't want to surrender my life to someone else. The Lord don't want you to surrender your life to Him. He is inviting you and I to come into partnership with Him. He don't want to control you. He don't want you to be His puppet. He don't want to take away your mind, your ability to think, reason, and choose, because you were created to be an intelligent being. Amen. And to be governed by your choice. If you did not have the liberty to make those choices, how could you be governed by that choice? You are in charge of your life. Let me tell you something maybe you haven't thought about. You are right where you've chosen to be. I didn't choose this destination. Yes, you did, by the choices you've made. Nobody drug you here. Okay? You are in charge of your life. God don't let anybody do it for you. God don't let mama make your choices. Except when you're a kid growing up and you will outgrow that. You know, when my boys come to the place where they begin to think and choose for themselves, it was hard for me to turn them loose. Why was it hard for me to turn them loose? Because I saw them making the kind of choices that I made when I was their age, and I know that's not going to be good for them. Hello? Yes, but I could not hold on because God made each of us a unique being with the ability to think, reason, and choose. And as they grow to maturity in their life, they were totally in charge of their life, and they made their choices whether I liked them or not. But I say, if you don't like where you are, change it. You're in charge. Hello? If you want to go to heaven, you're in charge of that. Mom can't do it. Dad can't do it. The preacher can't do it for you. You're in charge of it. But the Lord's listening to you and I because He's made us to be an independent individual with a unique personality, different than anybody else in the world. Oh, yeah. You know, sometimes folks would like for others to take the responsibility of making the choices for them. But I'll tell you what, if you take that responsibility for anybody and you make a choice that don't turn out right, they're going to blame you for it. Amen. Well, so much for that. That's not in my outline, but that was in my thoughts, and I want to get down to the rest of the outline. Okay, the devil is busy stealing everything he can from man. And the devil's plan is to leave man broken, crushed, discouraged, without hope, in prison, a failure. That's the devil's plan. Don't buy his story. There's some good stuff out there. Here's the way to get some good stuff. Yeah, to listen to him and do what he would suggest is a good way to get in trouble. Amen. Because he don't have anything good for you. But there is someone that does. Now, the devil's method is through drugs, alcohol, sex, greed, crime, and anything he can bring men into bondage of. He wants to get control of your life. And I'll tell you what. If you let him get an anchor in you, you're going to have trouble getting away. You're going to go farther than you wanted to go and stay longer than you wanted to stay. And he won't let you go without you have some help from Jesus. But we're going to get down to that in a little bit here. The devil, wants to put all men, women, boys and girls in prison. And he wants to control the keys. But let me tell you something wonderful. Jesus went right into the devil's domain. Took the keys away. And he gave the keys unto us and said, whatsoever you lock in heaven or lock on earth will be locked in heaven. Whatsoever you unlock on earth will be unlocked in heaven. He gave the keys to us, and he took the keys of death and hell. And Paul was talking about that, and he said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Hallelujah. You see, but Jesus has some things good for us. Now, we are all familiar with the tactics of the devil. We have seen his work. Broken vessels are all around us. So much bondage, sorrow, and despair. But the risen Savior and Lord Jesus has a wonderful contrast. Now we're going to talk about the good side. You see, he stated his purpose. I came that you may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. That's Jesus' plan for every person up on this earth. Every person of every nation, every nationality, every color. It's his purpose for every human being. You know, I have some good friends in the ministry that are African American. And one of my African American friends, and we've been close friends since 1960, and he asked me, he said, "Brother Mac," he said, "if we all came from the same ancestry, Adam and Eve," he said, "how come I'm black and you're white?" I said, "I don't know." But you know what has been discovered? You can have a blood transfusion, and it don't make any difference who it came from. It won't change your color. Amen. Amen. Well, so much for that one, huh? But I answered honestly, I don't know. God don't let us know everything. We don't need to know everything. But God's got it under control. And oftentimes in my prayers, I tell the Lord, "Lord, I don't know how heaven works, but I believe it does. That's good enough for me." I believe you've got it all under control. You know how it works. And all I have to do is walk with you, and there will be a day when I'll make my entry, and then I'll find out how heaven works. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big round of applause. Amen. 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 And He's designed not only for us to have heaven, He's designed for us to have some heaven on earth, to be happy, to be successful, to be profitable, to have lots of joy in our life. The Lord has designed that for us. Now, Jesus' purpose is to restore man all that the devil has stolen and destroyed from him. Jesus' purpose is to give man's life back to him so that we can truly live like we've never lived before. Jesus' purpose is to make man successful, victorious, progressive, and fulfilled. He's got a plan for you and me. And I believe that the Lord has a plan for every person on this earth. And that's the way I preach it. I believe it. Tell people, God has a plan for you. If you will open your heart and your mind and let Him share with you what His design and plan is for you, He won't try to take over your life. He won't try to take over your mind. He won't try to govern you and make choices for you. He will walk with you in partnership, and the choices you make, He will help you to fulfill them. He don't want the responsibility of controlling your life. Is that okay? That's right. He just wants you to be in partnership with Him. Well, where did that come from? It didn't come from me. Why did the Lord choose me to preach His gospel? I don't know. I could say it was because I'm so talented. But you know, I'm so talented in music, I can get off key with a tambourine. In art, my stick man looks crippled. He wasn't looking for someone that had a lot of talent when he found me. He was looking for someone that had a broken vessel and needed their vessel fixed. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I was 22 years old, and I'm a little older than that now. I'm 87. Still going strong for the Lord. Amen. Amen. God is good. He's given me longevity of life. Give me life. He's given me a woman that can help me when I get lost. She can get me back on track. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. But you know, let me leave this with you. The pastor is talking about invite people to church. My wife's older sister and her husband were Christians from the time they were teenagers. And they lived in Wichita, Kansas, and we helped them come up there and get started. And they would come by on Sunday afternoon. They was attending a little interdenominational church, Pentecostal church, on the other end of the block where we lived. They would come by our house and visit with us and invite us to church. They done that lots of times, lots of times, lots of times. We didn't go. But there came a time when we came to a crisis in her life. And I said, I've got to get my family in church. Where did we go to church? Now, this is the important part. We went where we had been invited. Is that okay?
Yeah.
We knew that we needed to go, but we didn't know where to go. But we had been invited to that little church. Went to that little church. Woman preacher. Well, what do you think of that? Of course, my wife wanted to ask me when we got back home. I had a defensive answer. What do you think of that woman preacher? Well, I didn't know anything about preachers, women or men. Amen. But we went back 2 weeks later. And that same woman preacher preached again. And I'll tell you, God got a hold of my heart. And when the invitation was made, I was under conviction. And I said, I'm going to that altar. You can do what you want to do. And she went to the other altar. And we got prayed through that night. But here's what the Lord did for me. He called me into partnership that night. Why he wanted me in partnership with him, I didn't know. But I know that he did. And here's what he done for me. I was 22 years old. I'd been smoking since I was 6 years old. Will smoking keep you out of heaven? It probably gets you there 10 to 15 years sooner. I haven't desired one since then. It was gone. I had a language problem, especially when you got me upset. Yes. I didn't have to learn to quit cussing. It was gone. I had a sin problem. He forgave my sin. He transformed my life. I had a back problem. I'd been seeing a chiropractor regularly. I haven't seen one since then, February the 3rd, 1952. Haven't needed one. You see, the Lord transformed my life. I went back to where the men that I was working with, I'd worked with them for 4 years. I was a crane operator in Boeing aircraft. Told them I got saved on Sunday night. One of the men said, I've heard that before. It'll last about 6 months. That was February the 4th, 1952, when I told him that my 6 months isn't up yet. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus has got a plan for a transformed life. You see, Adam got us in trouble. Well, I don't like old Adam. I'm going to criticize him. Hey, you're a descendant from Adam. Leave Adam alone. You've got the same opportunities that he does. Adam got us into trouble, but Jesus said, I'm going to get you out of trouble. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for you. He's got a plan to make your life good, to make it successful, to make it wonderful, to make it productive, to fill it with joy and excitement and benefit. He's got a plan for you that'll thrill you like you've never been thrilled before. Many of you know that because you know Him as your personal Savior. Can you say amen to that one? Amen. But the risen Savior, Lord Jesus, has that wonderful contrast. Okay, Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus came to this earth as a baby, he had something to say about this baby that was coming. In Isaiah 61, verses 1, 2, and 3, it's listed there. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. That's the way Jesus is going to be saying it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Isn't all that good? That is good. And he went on to say, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. So you see, 700 years before Jesus came to this earth as a little baby and walked upon this earth for 33 years, Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, The Holy Ghost wasn't given to whomsoever will, but holy men of God were chosen to speak the word. And they did have the same Holy Spirit available to them from that point that has been made available to whosoever will among us. But Jesus brought it to pass. He is the instigator of the Holy Ghost dispensation. I'd like to preach that, but that's not my message today. Praise God. All right. Now, Jesus has always looked for broken vessels that he may fix them. I'm going to talk about some of the broken vessels that are recorded in the scriptures. And you will notice in all of these, each of these brought their broken vessel to the Lord. God didn't run them down. You know, when I was just a young Christian and I wanted to be a preacher, I didn't know what a preacher was for sure, but I wanted to be a preacher. Talked to an older minister and he said, well, I ran from God, and he finally caught me and made me preach. And I thought, well, I don't guess he wants me to be a preacher because I'm not running. I want to be a preacher. And I did eventually find out what a preacher was. Amen. Amen. But I come to understand that that person misinterpreted what had happened to him. Because the Lord didn't call me to preach till I got to wanting to. And the Lord didn't call him to preach till he got to wanting to. Amen. So if you don't have any want to, go back and pray some more. Get some want to, then you'll know where to go from there. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Well, and don't feel good if God didn't call you to be a preacher. He called you to do something. He gave you some gifts and some abilities. And he needs you to do what he's gifted you for. Amen. 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 You know, and 46 years as a pastor leader, pastoral leader without a break, I enjoyed my work, pastored 5 churches, planted 2 of them, took 2 more of them when they were just little bitty churches and growed them in the Lord. But, you know, God knew, and I knew that he had called me to preach the gospel. And you know that he called you to do something. If you haven't figured out what it is, just go back and talk to him some more, and he'll give you some direction and let you know what he's chosen you to do. And you'll find out that you can do that more effectively than anybody else in the church. Is that okay? Praise the Lord. You know, I love babies, but I wouldn't make a good nursery leader. I love babies, but that's not my talent. I would mess things up. These kids would be crying, you know. Say, this ain't working. I need somebody that knows what's going on. Well, so much for that. Okay, let me get back to my outline here. I want to get these main points to you. Now, Jesus found a woman who was very broken. She had been taken in the very act of adultery. Now, that's pretty serious. And she had been brought by the religious leaders of the law to Jesus and said, we took this woman in the very act of adultery, and the law says that we should stone her to death. She was embarrassed. She was made a public example. She was humiliated before these hundreds, thousands of people. She was guilty. She had no one to defend her because she was guilty. She was caught in the act. She was afraid because she was aware that the law said, stone me to death. So she was afraid. She was ashamed. Oh, I didn't think she had any shame. Oh, yes, every person can have some shame. She was ashamed. She had no defense, no one to speak in her behalf. She was totally broken. She was crushed. She was a broken vessel. But Jesus knew how to fix the broken vessel. He rescued her from her accusers. They brought their accusation, brought the woman, and wanted Jesus to respond to it. He kneeled down with his finger. He wrote in the sand. He wrote, "Where's the guy?" Now, I don't know what he wrote, but he could have written that, "Where's the guy?" Hello? I don't know what he wrote, but what he did write spoke to those accusers, and their own guilt of their life spoke to them, and they immediately got lost in the crowd. This is good stuff. It's God's word. Amen. And he rescued her from her accusers. He said, "Where are your accusers?" She looked around, thought probably, "They're not here anymore." Said, I don't have any." He rescued her from her accusers. Then he rescued her from her fear. Since her accusers were no longer there, her fear of being stoned was no longer there. He rescued her from her fear. I'll tell you, Jesus knows how to fix broken vessels. He knows how. He gave her forgiveness for her guilt. Said, "Where are your accusers?" She said, "Well, looks like I don't have any." Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you." And he rescued her from her problem. He said, "Go and sin no more." Now, you know what I believe? I believe that that guilty woman that was brought into the presence of Jesus there, I believe she became a Christian that day. He rescued her. He fixed her broken vessel. He fixed her life. He took away her fear, and he gave her some excitement. He restored her to society. He truly knew how to fix a broken vessel, and he knows how to fix a broken vessel today. Let us go on from that. Now, Jesus found a man who was broken. He lived in a cemetery. He was really, truly broken. This man was demented. He was demented. Mentally, he was off base. And he was so strong, they had tried to tie him with ropes. He had broken the ropes. They tried to chain him with chains, and he had plucked the chains asunder. I don't know how he did all that, but he was so strong, and he was violent, and people were afraid of him. But Jesus found this man. He lived in the cemetery. And this man was possessed and controlled by demons, devils. Jesus cast the devils out of him. But there's something about this man, as demented as he was, as broken as he was, he still had enough about him to come to Jesus. He came to Jesus. Each one of these that I'm sharing in the scriptures today, you will note that they came to Jesus. He didn't look them up. He didn't come and find them and say, "I'm going to fix your problem." But he made himself available and said, "I'll take care of your problem if you will bring it to me." He is the one who is able to fix broken vessels. And this man was possessed and controlled by demons. Jesus commanded the devils to come out of him. And the devils came out, and he was released from the bondage of the devil. He was an outcast from society. People were afraid of him. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. His vessel had lost all dignity. He didn't wear any clothes. He was a naked stripper in the cemetery. He was completely naked. He had lost all dignity. His vessel was broken. It was crushed beyond hope of mankind. But he came to Jesus. Jesus cast the devils out of him. So he said, "Oh, that's so wonderful. I want to go with you. Wherever you go, I want to go with you." But you know what Jesus said? He said, "No, I want you to go back home. I want you to tell them what great things God has done for you." Hallelujah. He fixed your broken vessel. Tell them what great things God has done for you. Isn't that amazing? God took that demented, naked man in the cemetery and made him an evangelist. How does the Lord get evangelists? That's the way he does it. He fixes the broken vessels. Amen. He fixed a broken vessel, and he said, I've got a message for you to carry. No, I don't need you to go with me. I got 12 disciples here, and they'll take care of that. But you go back to your family. Tell them what great things God has done for you. The Lord said in His Word, said, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you will be witnesses unto me here, there, and everywhere. Amen. That's what's going to happen when He gets our vessel fixed. You see, He fixed my vessel. I was not a church kid. Had a little bit of Sunday school under my granddad, who was a Sunday school superintendent in the Methodist or Baptist church, whichever one happened to have an itinerant preacher coming through to preach for him. But I wasn't a church kid. I graduated, and my graduating class, it was a big class. There was 24 of us. Big graduating class. 24 seniors graduating. Some of those in the class were church kids. They had grown up in church. They were regular in church. Their families went to church. My family didn't. Why did the Lord choose me to preach His gospel and He didn't choose any of them? I don't know. Was I better than them? Heaven knows that I wasn't. And they knew it. You know, I haven't figured it out, but I don't have to. As long as I know He chose me. I know He chose me. Don't you know He chose you? If you know He chose you, let's see your hand up there. Wave it at Him. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. You know that He's chosen you. You don't know why, but you know that He has. And like I've already said, it wasn't because I had a lot of talent. He had other reasons. But I know that He chose me. Now, Jesus restored the dignity of this man. And He clothed him, put some clothes on him. And I thought as I was preparing this message, where did the Lord get them clothes? I'll tell you where I think He got them. When that crowd of people saw what Jesus was doing and what was happening to this demented, naked man, somebody gave him a suit of clothes. Now I think, now the Lord could have made them. You know, He had the ability to do that. But I believe He got the people involved in them. You know, when the Lord saved you, He got the people involved in your life. Amen. And He put you into a family that loved you. And every one of them thought you were their baby. That's right. They thought you were their baby. And they would respond to your needs and they would help you. And my sister-in-law and brother-in-law that had invited wife and I to church, they were there and they helped pray us through. And so I leaned on them. You know, I didn't know anything about this Christian walk. You know, I didn't know anything. And so I'd call them regularly. Say, hey, I've got a question. Answer my question, you know. She told me later, she said, I thought you never was going to get established. But I did. I made it. The Lord helped me and they helped me. You know, God has a plan for each of us to get in a good church. Yes, a church family where you'll have friends, where you'll have people to pray with you, where you'll have people to instruct you, where you'll have people that you can watch their lives and see how they're walking and you can learn to walk like they walk. A number of years ago, I was chosen to go to a church and preach the men and sons, father and sons, banquet and time to get together. And one thing that they had in that was they had a big space there and they had the fathers and the sons to get there headed this way, and here was the father and the son was behind him, and had them to walk back the aisle and all the rest of us look at them. And it's amazing. Them boys would walk just like their dad did. I never realized that was a fact that was always there. Them kids, little kids, they walked just like their dad did. If their dad had a like this, they did too, you know. But they walked just like their dad. You know, if one hasn't been walking straight, just let Jesus get in front of you. You can follow Him. Just walk like He walks. Talk like He talks. Do like He does. Oh, I'll tell you, He's got a plan for our life. He is the one that is in the business of fixing broken vessels. There were many other broken vessels that Jesus found and fixed. To mention just a few, Zacchaeus the publican, who was short. He couldn't see over the crowd, but he wanted to see Jesus. So he came and climbed the tree with the boys so he could see Jesus when Jesus came by. When Jesus came by, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today. Whoa. Zacchaeus said, I'll give half of my goods to feed the poor. If I've taken anything by false accusation, I'll pay it back fourfold. That's under the law. That's what it required. Jesus said, today, salvation has come to this house. That tax collector that the Jews hated because they were hired by the Romans to collect the taxes from the Jews and give them to Rome. They hated them tax collectors. But Jesus can even love a tax collector. And if it's a broken vessel, and of course it was, Jesus fixed that broken vessel and went to his house that day and said, salvation has come to this house. There was a Samaritan woman who had 5 failed marriages. Boy, she was sure in the failing business. She was real good at it. Experienced. Jesus said, go get your husband, bring him. She said, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, true. You've had 5. You're living with a man now that's not your husband. But he said, if you'll ask of me, I'll give you a drink of living water that you will never thirst again. She said, Lord, evermore, give me this water that I never thirst again. And I'm making the story short because it's a long story. Jesus gave her a touch of the living water. Now, the greatest responsibility that the women had in that society, in that day, at that place, was to provide the water, get the water for their family. No family could live without water. This woman got so excited, she ran back to town and forgot her water pot and left it there at the well. Can you believe that? Where did she go? She went back to town carrying the message that she now had to the men of the city that she was avoiding seeing any of them. Hello? And said, I have found the Messiah. He's out by the well. Come out to see him. Who is going to believe a woman that is a 5-time failure? I'll tell you, when that woman has a new excitement in her life and she speaks with faith that is impressive, people are going to listen. And she was the first woman evangelist Jesus sent out. He fixed that vessel and sent her out to preach the gospel. Amen. And she took the message. So later, they all came out to see Jesus. And they said, we came first because you said he was here. But now we've seen him for ourselves, and we've heard him, and we've met him. Now we know that you had the right message. You had truly found the Messiah. Jesus fixed that broken vessel. Then there was Mary Magdalene, who was possessed of devils. Jesus cast 7 devils out of Mary. She became one of the most avid servants of the Lord in the early church, Mary Magdalene, because Jesus fixed that broken vessel. And then there was a sinful woman who came into Simon's house. Jesus was invited to Simon's house. He was a special guest at Simon's house. And this woman came in, and the scripture said she was a sinner. She came in weeping. She came to Jesus. She washed his feet with her tears. She dried his feet with her very glory, the hair of her head. Simon had a thought, if he knew she was a sinner, he wouldn't have anything to do with her. Jesus said, Simon, let me tell you something. Simon said, say on. He said, I came into your home as your guest. You didn't offer me any water for my feet. But this woman has come and washed my feet with her tears and dried my feet with her hair. Her very glory. Jesus fixed this broken vessel. Hallelujah. And she might have come in a sinner. The scripture said she was. But I don't believe she left a sinner. I believe she left with a new life, with a new excitement, with a new victory in her heart and in her life, because the Lord had fixed her broken vessel. That's the business that Jesus is in. Then there was a woman with an issue of blood. This is the last one I want to bring before you. She had an issue of blood 12 years. She had spent all she had trying to get the doctors fix it. She didn't grow any better. But she said in her heart, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. How did this little, weak, frail woman get through the crowd? I don't know. I don't know if she got down there and crawled among the legs to get to Jesus. But she purposed she was going to get to him. Look, if you have a crack in your vessel, be sure to get to him. He will fix your broken vessel. He'll make a big difference, a big difference. And she somehow, she got to him, she got close enough to touch the hem of his garment, and she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? His disciples said, the people are thronging you. And you said, who touched me? Everybody's touching you. But there was a different touch. You can touch him in such a way that others haven't touched him. Praise God. He's touchable. She reached out and touched him. And she came forth and confessed that she was the one that had touched him. Jesus fixed her broken vessel. And the Lord laid this message on my heart to share with you this morning. And I thought, as I was working on the message, and I was thinking about the invitation. You see, we're motivators. And with a motivational message, there must be an opportunity to make a choice after the message. Must respond to the challenge of the message if you're going to have the benefit of it. We can say, that was a great message, and we just go on and we forget about it. But God has sent me this morning with a motivational message to challenge you. Now, if you have a crack in your vessel, you don't want anybody else to know about it. We protect ourselves. But the Lord's going to give us an opportunity to come and bring our vessel this morning. If there's something you've been wrestling with for a long time, bring it. The Lord wants to take care of it. He wants to fix your vessel this morning. He wants to bring you to the place where you don't have any hindrance to keep you from doing all that you need to do to make your life wonderful, powerful, and successful. He wants to take care of your broken vessel.